Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, in the Lord, to today's study, and going to have an interesting study today in our study of life. Now, I remind you that we're studying in the series of the ABCs of Christian Growth, and that's the way we're trying to keep it, is in the ABCs mode, if you will. So these are things, doctrinal things and practical things that every Christian should know, that in Christianity is not being taught like it was years and years ago. And a lot of Christians just have absolutely no idea what the Bible says and what God says about things. Not what's in the magazine, not what's in somebody's opinion or this, that, and that. Opinions are a dime a dozen. What does the Bible say? That's what we're after. And they used to teach that. It was strictly God's Word, and if we're going to talk about things of eternity, we're going to talk about things of theology, then we're going to talk about what the Bible says, and that's what used to be, but not anymore. Not anymore. It's very rare that you're going to go into, and I'm not talking about the ones that are all the church, all the local assemblies that are indeed following the truth of the Word of God, and their pastor is preaching and teaching the Word of God and standing on the Word of God, and that flock is following the Word of God indeed in unity and doing it right, then there are some out there. But for every one, there's 100 that's not. Okay, it's turned around. It's not prominent, pure Christianity anymore. It's prominent, perverted Christianity. Now, you can go to 100 churches, and you're going to find at least 95 different worship services, 95 different ways, only the Bible says there's only one God, one Spirit, one truth. So what we need to do is find out what the Bible says. And that's what this study is all about, is finding out what our Lord says. And He has given us it in written form, and we can lay it down in front of us, and we can read it, and we can stake our souls on it and our lives on it and trust Him to come through for us on His promises. And I don't think there's a person listening to this that can legitimately or honestly say that the Lord has let them down in any manner. The Lord has never let me down. Now, there might have been some circumstances to where, there has been circumstances to where the Lord thought differently than I thought about things, but nevertheless, it came out truth. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So the Lord always does right. That's why He's called righteous. He is righteous. He always does right. He does good, but He will not do good over doing right. It's always better to do right than it is to do good. If you do right, it's going to turn out right, you see. And we serve our wonderful Lord, and let's get into our study today. And last recording, we talked about life, truths of breath. Truths of breath. And that was interesting, wasn't it? We went over that and found out what the Bible had to say about the Word and the substance, the issue of breath, and how important that is concerning life. And not only important, but life-staking. I mean, the Lord gave life. The Lord keeps life. He gave breath. He keeps breath and sustains breath. Every man is not in control of his own breath. He can't keep himself breathing. He can't keep breath in him. If the Lord decides that he's going to reach down and snatch that breath from you, what are you going to do? You're not going to do nothing. You're going to drop dead. That's what you're going to do. And it doesn't, a lot of times we walk by faith, not by sight. And there's the majority of human beings on this planet that are made of dust, the Bible says, and we are, that take for granted their breath. I know a man right now that I pray for all the time that's up in Pennsylvania, and I watched him go. When I first met him, he had a breathing problem, and he had to wear one of those oxygen tubes in his nose and around his head, and it went to a little pack that he carried around. But he was able to get out and walk and do this, that, and the other, and function pretty good. Could get up and go to church and stuff like that, but it still hindered him because it was something wrong with his lungs, and he had only a certain percentage of air that he could draw. And if you've ever had any problems with your lungs or any kind of sickness with your lungs, and you've not been able to pull air, a full long chest full of air, and you feel the hindrance and you feel the limitations of that, it's pretty scary. You ever watch somebody almost drown? You've seen some scary looks on their face. That's horrifying to not be able to pull a breath. And that fellow I'm telling you about, now he's to the point to where, I mean, he and I had a talk about heaven and about what the Bible says about going to heaven, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. I was there when he did it, and when he asked the Lord to save him and put his trust in the Lord. We know where he's going. He's headed to heaven, but that didn't change his lungs. The Lord did get rid of some cancer that was in his lungs, but his lung problem's still there. And it's worsened. And he sits in a chair. Now, he can't get up and hasn't got the breath to get up and move very far where he's exhausted, because it ain't got nothing to do with his body being able to do it. He's strong enough to do it. He just doesn't have enough oxygen to continue to do it, drawing that breath. I had another buddy that was led to the Lord. He was a Sicilian, 100% Sicilian. there's some people there. Old Danny was his name. He's in heaven right now. And he had a problem with his heart. And I watched it degress and got down to where he couldn't get up and walk from his couch to his bedroom without being completely and utterly out of breath and exhausted with his breath because of the way of his heart was. What a terrible thing and a way to live. Your breath is everything as far as being alive. The Bible's taught us that. The Bible's taught us that the Lord is the one that has given man breath. And we learned that breath is God's breath. The air that we breathe, the Bible has identified it as God's breath. Now, you say what you want to, but that's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So whatever's flowing through the blood is what keeps man alive. And we talked about that and said that, well, oxygen flows through the blood, and if you don't have any oxygen, then your body's not going to last too long. Matter of fact, it's going to die, and it's going to degress like we was talking about. And then we said that the oxygen, the way that you obtain oxygen is by drawing a breath. Remember? So life has a lot to do with breath. Life, truths of breath. Now let's go into the next part and talk about life, truths of spirit. truths of spirit. Now, the world is very the world is real interested in spirits. They talk about spirits all the time. It's funny and interesting that a world that says that there's no God and doesn't want to have anything to God with God is so interested in spirits. And interested, the world, they're not fooling anybody. They just don't want God instructing them and telling them what to do. But they do believe in the invisible things. And they do believe in spiritual things and spirituality. They just don't want to have anything to do with it when it comes to God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, or have to do with anything with goodness and purity and what's right and truth. They want the devils and the unclean spirits the Bible talks about. Now, there are several different kinds of spirit talked about in the Scriptures. There's God the Holy Ghost. He is the spirit of truth. There is the spirit of man. There is the devil himself. He is a spirit. And then there are unclean spirits, which are also called devils in the Bible. And then there's the spirit of animals. The spirit of beasts is what the Bible says. So several different kinds of spirits. Everybody and everything does not have the same kind of spirit. If you are a person and you're a human being, you have the spirit of man. And as we can see from our study so far in life, breath and spirit in the Scriptures are very closely related. In fact, so closely related that it's difficult to differentiate breath and spirit when it comes to the issue of truth of life. Remember, we was talking last time, and I said that if you see spirit in the Scripture, the word spirit, now I'm not talking about, that's what's wonderful about our King James Bible. It identifies whether it's talking about a person or it's talking about something else when it lists the word spirit, and it uses it in other places. And you'll recognize that as you study the Bible, and it helps you as you study the Bible of who it's talking about and what it's talking about. The translators capitalized the word or the letter S on the word spirit when it was talking about the Holy Spirit. And if it's a small S, then it's talking about another spirit. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it did use the word spirit with a lowercase s, having to do with God the Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament, it's completely a capitalized uppercase s when it's identifying God the Holy Ghost. Just something to note there. And you probably already knew that stuff anyway. But talking about the issue of truth of life, when we said last time, when we were finishing up our breath, the truth of breath study on our last recording, we said that when you see spirit or you see breath or even some other things, breath, spirit, or life, or some of the others that we was talking about, they all are so closely knitted together that when one of them is in the forefront and you're reading about it or studying about it, you can look over the shoulder of the one that you're talking about. Say, for instance, we're talking about spirit and we're studying about spirit today. You can look over the shoulder of spirit and you can see breath back there in the background. That's how close they are together. And sometimes it's hard to take them apart. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever really seen them completely separated altogether. I mean, anytime you read in the Scriptures and you talk about breath and spirit, they're so closely related, it's hard for you to take them and break them apart because you can always get truth of either one when either one are mentioned. So just something to note there in the scriptures. God's word is so perfect and it's so blended, and nobody can find God out. Nobody. I mean, if you go through sincerely and read God's word and you can't see God himself, the Bible said, Jesus said he is the word. Jesus was the word before he incarnated. He was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when the Word became flesh and incarnated and was born of a woman with God's seed and God's blood, they named him Jesus Christ, which is a human being. God's Son. Isn't that neat? You can't beat that Bible with a stick. Well, I'll tell you, that thing is, you better not mess with that or try to manipulate that. That Bible will slap you around like you ain't never been slapped. It's truth. It's spiritual truth. And speaking of spirit, that's what we're talking about today. So let's see what the Bible says about spirit concerning life. Now, everyone that has breath has spirit. Therefore, has life. But even though everyone has spirit, lowercase s, the spirit of man, this does not mean they have God the Holy Spirit, uppercase s, the person, God the Holy Spirit, abiding in them. The Bible says that and instructs us of that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man, a natural man, is a man that is unsaved, that is not born again. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, it's like a completely different language when you're talking about natural and you're talking about spiritual. There are things that, born again, the Bible says our spirits bear witness that we are the children of God. There are things that born again people that can stand around and talk in the spirit, and the natural man can't understand a thing what it's talking about. He can understand the words, but he can't understand the meaning of it because it is spiritual. Now, God the Holy Ghost does not abide in lost men and women. They have to be born again, the Bible says. Born of the Spirit, the Lord said. And that's man's spirit. Has to be born, man's spirit has to be born again with God the Holy Ghost regenerating him. Now, only people in this age that have been born again have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and their body abiding in them. Now, John 3:3-5, listen to it. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, see, the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is spiritual, and that's what I was talking about people that have been born again that sit around. It's kind of like our lesson right here. I'm talking about things in the scriptures and talking about spiritual things, and if you're born again, you can understand them because you understand what God the Holy Ghost is telling you spiritually. But a natural man that's unsaved cannot receive these things because he doesn't understand them. They're foolishness to him. What? A Holy Ghost? What? They're foolishness to him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except, in other words, unless this happens, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he told us in another place that it's not by observation. The kingdom of God is not by observation. You can't look out and see the kingdom of God like a visual kingdom, like a kingdom of heaven. It's not tangible. The kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's the spiritual things of God. Nicodemus, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. Now, how are you going to put a palace inside of your body? That's silly. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's the conversation we have spiritually. It's the spiritual things that Jesus taught. It's the spirit that we have when the body comes together and the assembly comes together and we worship in the spirit. It's the spiritual realm of God. As far as the family of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? You see, he's talking naturally. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's talking naturally. He's thinking naturally, not spiritually, you see. But Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, uppercase, God the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, unless a man is born of water, that's being born naturally of your mama in the water, and then born of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't know the things of the Spirit. You cannot know spiritual things. So you see, the spirit of man, everyone that has breath has a spirit, the spirit of man, but it's dead. When Adam fell, man's spirit died. It's God the Holy Ghost, or God's is not in man's spirit when he is born now. All right, let's move on. We'll get this cleared up. Therefore, if a man has breath and has spirit, therefore he has life. Because remember, we talked about that the body without the spirit, or the body without the spirit is dead. Remember? Okay. But even though everyone has spirit, this does not mean that they have God the Holy Spirit abiding in them. Only people in this age that have been born again have the Holy Spirit in their body abiding. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. Now he's talking about that a man teach you versus God the Holy Spirit teaching you. There's nothing wrong with a man teaching you. As a matter of fact, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's not saying that. He's saying, if it comes down to God the Holy Ghost or a man teaching you, God the Holy Ghost is able to give you everything that you need. Okay? But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You see. So, everybody in this age that has God the Holy Ghost and has been born again has God the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, uppercase letter, person, God the Holy Ghost, a person, spirit of promise. So you see, everybody has a spirit, but that's the spirit of man. Everybody does not have God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit dwelling in them unless they have been born again. All other people that have life have spirit, but not God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, so since we cleared that up and the difference between who God the Holy Ghost dwells in, let's move on. Now let's see here. Now, there's found in Scripture different spirits, like we talked about. There is God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Spirit is who He is called. In John chapter 4, verse 24. Let's read that. The Bible says, God is a spirit, uppercase letter. And when it's uppercase in the Scriptures in your King James Bible, it's speaking of a person. God is a spirit, uppercase. That means He is a spirit, and that spirit is a person. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, lowercase, and in truth. And in truth. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So see, you cannot worship God with your flesh. You can submit your flesh to God's will, but you can't worship God or commune with the Lord with your flesh. You can commune with the Lord with spirit, with your spirit. Let me read that again. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so we're talking about there are found in Scripture different spirits. The Spirit of God, God the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. And Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, uppercase. For the Spirit, uppercase, I'm just saying this a few times. I'm going to let you have it in a minute so you'll remember that. I'm just trying to get you to remember. It's talking about God the Holy Ghost, a person. God the Holy Ghost is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay? So we see God, the third person of the Godhead. Now, there is Satan, he who is a spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Talking about Satan, talking about the spirit of the devil, not a devil, the devil, Satan, not Lucifer, that was his name before the Lord changed him to devil, to Satan. That was his heavenly name, Lucifer. All right, and then there are unclean spirits, which are also referred to as devils. You can find both of those references, spirits, unclean spirits, and devils in some of the same verses referred to in the same scripture. So an unclean spirit and a devil are the same thing. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. You see. So there are unclean spirits, which are also referred to as devils in the Scripture. Then there is the spirit of beasts. The spirit of beasts. Now all these are spirits, but they're different spirits. I didn't know that. Did you know that? That's what the Bible teaches. So, when we are interested in finding out what God says and what's true, and you get in them scriptures, you find out some pretty neat things. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? You see, the Bible referred to two different spirits, completely separate from one another. the spirit of man that goes one direction, upward, and the spirit of beast that goes downward to the earth. Now, you ask me, I know what you're thinking. You say, and I've asked that question a million times, but I've not found an answer to it yet. And it's okay to say, I don't know. Why does spirit of beasts go downward? I don't know. Maybe God made their spirit out of the earth. I don't know. I haven't found that out yet, except that I know that in Ecclesiastes it says, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of beast that goeth downward to the earth? So the Bible tells us that there is spirit of beasts. There are spirit of devils. There is the spirit of Satan. There is God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And there is the spirit of man, finally. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit, uppercase, the spirit of God. You see. So, the scripture plainly identifies these five different spirits. Okay? And I remember asking the question ignorantly and didn't know, and we just sit around and, well, what about animals? Do they have the same, they have spirits just like man. They have souls. They have this. They have, and didn't know at all what I was talking about or whether the scriptures taught that. But it does teach that an animal has a spirit. I've not found where it says anything about an animal having a soul. But it does have a spirit. And we see the five different spirits here that we have seen in Scripture. So now, let's take some time and look at some Bible truths concerning spirit in the light of our study, life. Life. Let's just look at some truths here. First thing is that the Lord is the owner of the Spirit. The Lord is the owner of the Spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 1 through, I think we're going to read to verse 8. Listen to this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Now, of course, we know those eight verses are talking about when man begins to age and when he gets old and the circumstances that come about in his life and how he starts, his vision starts dimming and he starts shaking and he can't hear as good as he used to and things like that. That's what we've been reading right there. But at the end of those verses, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. The first thing we find out about the Spirit when it comes to life is that the Lord is the owner of the Spirit. He owns it. He gave it. And when it's all over and your body goes back to the dust, like the Bible says, your spirit is going to return to God who gave it. Next truth. Man does not have power over the spirit that God does. Well, let's see what the Bible says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, now you see all these movies and all this imaginary theatrical stuff that man comes up with, that man can control his spirit and come in and out of his body and blabbity, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. It's all lies. Man cannot control his own spirit. He has no power to retain the spirit in the day of death, the Bible says. When God says, die, you die. And you have no power to say, well, I'm hanging on to my spirit. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. You can't do anything about it. And that's what the entire world is up to right now, trying to find a way to keep from dying. And they're not going to, because God says they don't have any power over it. You don't have any power over the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Everybody's going to die. So we see another truth about spirit. Life, truths of spirit. Man does not have power over the spirit that God does. God has power over it because he gave it, and he gets it back whenever you die. Man does not have power over the spirit that God does. Luke chapter 8, listen to it, and verse 54 and 55. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid. This is the Lord Jesus Christ that went to save that man's daughter. But she had already died, and the Lord told him, don't worry about it. She's just asleep. And they laughed at him. And he told them, get out. If you're not going to believe, get out. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. Now listen to this. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. You see who had control of that? Her spirit had already gone. Her body was dead. But when the Lord told him, don't worry about it, she's just asleep. And when the Bible talks in other places about somebody dying, it refers to them as falling asleep. And they laughed. They said they laughed him to scorn, is what it says. And the Lord says, well, if you're not going to believe, get out. You don't get to see this. And the Bible says that the Lord said, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Man does not have power over the spirit that God does. That little girl couldn't do anything about her spirit being gone. She died. But the Lord could. And those people standing around, they couldn't do anything about it either. Man does not have power over the spirit that God does. And that's not all. Talking about life, truths of spirit. One truth is that the spirit is necessary for the body to have life. Not only does the Lord... not only is the Lord owner of the Spirit, and not only does man not have power over the Spirit that God does, but the Spirit is necessary for the body to have life. We just seen that with that little girl. She was not alive until the Lord instructed her spirit to come to her again. He told her to arise, and her spirit came to her again, the Bible says. The spirit's necessary for the body to have life. James says that. James chapter 2 and verse 26. The Bible says very plainly, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So the spirit is necessary for the body to have life. You have to have a spirit. And that spirit comes from the owner, which is the Lord, which man has no control over. He can't keep it. He can't order it back. He has absolutely no control over it. We're talking about the spirit of man. And that's not all. It is because God gives the spirit to man that he has it. You see, all these people sitting around these Ouija boards and all these people think that they can instruct a spirit and they can command a spirit and tell spirits what to do and what not to do and blah, blah, blah. They're being controlled is what's going on. Devils control people. They're spirits and they control people. They possess people. They oppress people. Devils are real, just like your spirit is real. And God, the Holy Ghost, is real. God, the Holy Spirit. And the spirit of animals. It's because God gives the spirit to man that he has it. You say, where does it say anything about that, brother? It says it in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 5. Listen to what our Bibles teach us. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath. Remember breath? He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Remember me telling you that when we're talking about spirit and we're talking about breath, one of them's going to be in the background? There's a good example right there. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it. Now, when we were studying breath, we found out that you have to have that to be alive. And if any of y'all want to try to prove that you don't, I'd buy a ticket to it. He that giveth breath unto the people and spirit unto them that walk therein. So we see that you have to have breath and you have to have spirit in order to be alive. It's because God gives the spirit to man that he has it. No man has ever gathered his spirit up himself or has control of it. Or can tell God what to do with it and can get it back when God takes it. And that's not all. Let's see another truth about spirit having to do with life, our study. It is God's spirit that he places within the man that causes him to be. You say the spirit of man is God's spirit? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Not talking about God the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, we talked about that. You do not have God the Holy Ghost until you're born again. God does not dwell in you until you're born again, but you do have the spirit of man because you're alive. And the Bible says, as the body is without the spirit, dead. But it's God's spirit that he places with the man that causes him to be. Psalm 104, in the book of Psalm 104, verse 30. Listen to this. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, Notice whose spirit it is. It didn't say God the Holy Ghost. It says His God's Spirit. Now, I don't understand that, but that's what it says. But it's not God the Holy Ghost. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. So you see, it's God sending forth. It says His Spirit, thy Spirit. But it can't be God the Holy Ghost, because He does not indwell a man until a man is born again and believes on His Son. Or the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament would come upon men. But they were alive when He came upon them, and they had already had a spirit, the spirit of man. So you see, God owns the spirit of man. And it says, thy spirit. He is the owner. He has ownership of the spirit that keeps man alive. It is God's spirit that He places with the man that causes him to be. Let's see another truth. Jesus said His words. Are you getting this? Jesus said His words are spirit and they are life. Remember what I told you about life and spirit and breath and how they all are so close together? Listen to this in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit, not the Holy Ghost, a lowercase s. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. In other words, man's spirit that can come alive, that makes life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means to make alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He said that His words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In another place, the Bible says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In another place, it says that God's word liveth. It's alive. It liveth and abideth forever. So, right here in this verse, in John 6:63, we see that it's looking like it's God's word that has to do with the spirit of man that keeps man alive. I mean, we just got through reading about Jesus saying, "Maid, arise," and said her spirit came to her again, and she came back alive. He'd done the same thing to Lazarus. He was standing outside the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and said, "The dead man Lazarus, wrapped up like a mummy, came out of there," and he said, "Unloose him before he suffocates." God's word. The words of Jesus. Jesus said, that's interesting, isn't it? Oh, that Bible has got some truths in it that are wonderful. So we see some truths about life, truths of spirit. We see that the Lord is the owner of the spirit. Man does not have the power over the spirit that God does. Matter of fact, man does not have any control over the spirit at all. The spirit is necessary for the body to have life. It is because God gives the spirit to man that he has it. And it is God's spirit that he places with the man that causes him to be. And Jesus said that his words are spirit and they are life. Now, if the Lord's telling us the truth, and he is, about his words, there's going to be a lot of answering to be done at the judgment seat of Christ for the lives or the life that were affected because of the people changing and tampering with his word. If Jesus' word is as important and alive and quickens and they are spirit and they are life, like he says, and they are, then what kind of chances what I'm trying to get to is about people changing and tampering with God's words if they are indeed what the Lord says they are. Not me, man. God the Holy Ghost has taught me that that's his word. And it is perfect in every way. I've never, ever found any kind of flaw or even desired to look for one in the scriptures. It has been 100% secure and perfect in my mind, in my heart, and in my understanding. And God the Holy Ghost has never bore witness with my spirit with anything but his word. According to what the Lord said, if you change his word, you change the spirit. Isn't that what the word says? Not me. I'm staying with God's word. That King James Bible. The Authorized Version, 1611, King James Bible. You use what you want to, not me. That's very dangerous territory. Because once you start changing God's words, you start changing the spirit of God's words. Jesus said they're spirit and they are life. And you not only change the spirit of it, you change the life of it. Not me. Not me. And let's look at one last one. The Bible says that the Lord is the owner of the spirit, that man does not have power over the spirit that God does. The spirit's necessary for the body to have life. It is because God gives the spirit to man that he has it. And it's God's spirit that he places with the man that causes him to be. And that Jesus said his words are spirit and that they are life. And finally, or lastly, the spirit in man has form. The spirit in man has form. You say, well, how do you know that, brother? Well, the same way we've been talking about the rest of this stuff. It's truth. Why is it truth? Because it's scripture. Now listen, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Let's read it again. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Isn't that neat? The spirit of man has form. We know that the soul of man, that your soul, is an invisible body within your body. Same shape, same form. I heard a guy say one time that man's trinity is similar to a football. A football has the outer shell, the leather, the outer body of it represents our body, the flesh. And then it has the inner bladder, if you will, what it's called, the inner bladder that is shaped like the outer body, the football, but it's on the inside. And then inside of it is the air. And what is God the Holy Ghost referred to? The wind, the breath, is the air. It's pretty neat, isn't it? Well, we're going to stop right there. We talked about life truths of breath, and we've talked about life truths of spirit. Next, we're going to talk about, this next recording, we're going to take time and talk about life truths of being. B-E-I-N-G. Truths of being. Now, I want to mention to you, remember those definitions that we had before we started these studies, or these portions of studies about life in our study? Go back and when you're reading about life truths of breath and life truths of the spirit, look back at those definitions and see and compare them and bring them into the study itself, like existent and human and being and am and I and real and all that, and it'll bless you. Next, we're going to talk about life truths of being. Let me give you the scriptures for today if you would, if you want them, and I'm sure you do. Here's the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. John chapter 4, verse 24. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And if one of y'all breaks a lid or something, just tell me and I'll stop for a minute. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And then we had Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. And also Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. And then Luke chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. James chapter 2, verse 26. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. Psalm chapter 104, verse 30. John chapter 6, verse 63. And Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. So there we go. And there's the scripture for today, life truths of spirit. Next recording, we will go into life truths of being, and we'll see what the Bible has to say concerning our being, concerning life. And then we'll probably have one more recording, and we're going to finish this thing out and finish out our study of life. So the Lord be with you, and thank you so much for joining us today. And if I pause between words too long for you, then you're just going to have to slow down. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for honoring the Lord. Isn't our Lord wonderful? The love of Christ constraineth me and constraineth you. We love him because he first loved us. The Lord bless you. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.